Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. Oh, here we go. All right, there it is.
Tara.
It's on. Good morning.
Hey there.
Hey, all right, Joe. Joe Biden is out there. He's in Pennsylvania, okay? He's running around in Pennsylvania, and he's telling everyone how, like, absolutely amazing and great the economy is.
Yeah.
When he's not walking around creepily holding hands with little girls. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen that one
it's,
yet.
It's disturbing. I watched it for
like
you, so you don't have to.
Thank you.
It's
one
weird.
For the team.
Yeah, the only one who looks comfortable is Joe. The girls don't look so comfortable. But anyway, that's typical for Joe and children. Anyway, it's almost like you to watch it, it's almost like something out of, I don't know, where have I heard this before? Oh, I know, Ashley Biden's diary. Anyway, so yeah, it's weird. It's real weird. So he's running around and he's telling everyone how absolutely great the economy is. And I guess Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell was not on board with the talking points. Maybe he didn't get a printout because he basically let everyone know what I've been telling folks for, gosh, I don't know, a year, and I'm not even the Federal Reserve Chairman. If you keep printing money to pay for these big budgets like you are, inflation's not going down. And if inflation is not going down, interest rates aren't either. These are really simple things. You know, a real smart ninth grade economics class can grasp this, but not the Federal Reserve, the United States of America. Well, actually, I think they can grasp it. I just think they're lying to you and have been lying to you and me and everyone for a long time when they've been saying, hey, those rates going to come down later this year. Yeah, we've totally tackled inflation. Now let's print another $7 trillion. And then they all walk around pretending to be stunned as to where this inflation is coming from. So the juxtaposition here was really jarring, but not surprising to those of us who at a, you know, ninth grade level live in economic reality. So that's not counting, obviously, anyone in the White House, anyone in the Biden administration, or anyone in the Federal Reserve. But for the rest of us here in America, these are not hard things. So this is how this sounded yesterday. As he's running around taking credit for the economy. Like, if I was advising him on the campaign trail, I would be talking about anything but the economy. I would not be talking about, I certainly wouldn't be taking credit for fixing it. Here we go. Here's how this went yesterday.
So we got these comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and it seems to be at odds with what we've heard from President Biden. Watch the Fed chairman first.
We'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. Data show solid growth and continued strength in the labor market, but also a lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal.
Ouch.
Remember the March consumer price inflation read? That came in at 3.5% year over year, a 0.4% jump month to month. So you compare Powell's take on inflation with Karine Jean-Pierre's view. Watch.
The way we see the economy is very different than the way Republicans see the economy and how we make sure we have an economy that works for all. Making sure that the wealthiest among us, the billionaires and corporations, pay their fair share, we believe is the way to go here, not putting that burden on everyday Americans.
You know, let's just stick with the numbers, guys. These inflation numbers are problematic for the White House in an election year. Back in May of 2022, President Biden maintained that inflation was a top priority for him.
I want every American to know that I'm taking inflation very seriously, and it's my top domestic priority. I believe that inflation is our top economic challenge right now.
So we got these comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and it seems to be at odds.
So He says they're going to first they lie to us and tell us there is none. It's going away. It's transitory. Why did they do that? I explained that at the time, all that summer, as the Fed, as the Treasury, as they're lying about inflation, they are liberals who are trying to buy Biden one last good run on the printing press. Because remember, they wanted the Inflation Reduction Act. They wanted the Infrastructure Act, which was really the Green New Deal, and they wanted to print another $1 trillion. That would be the second $1 trillion they wanted to print that year beyond the budget. So they had a lie. They had a lie. No, there's no inflation. It's going away. Hey, hand us the printing press. And the thing is smoking, Lee. There's flames coming out of it. You can tell we're going into inflation if they print it. And Larry Summers kept telling them that. I mean, he's a former Treasury Secretary. He's, you know, a Democrat. So the solution there was just to censor him. So he had to go as far away as the UK to give interviews about how they were going to set the printing press on fire. And everybody ignored it. So then they had, just to keep, you know, the real estate folks from screaming bloody murder about the absolute destruction of the real estate industry. There is no real estate industry right now. I mean, I could tell you my husband works in it. There's nothing. It's destroyed. It is smoldering embers is what it is. And we can't just opt to not have a real estate industry so the Democrats can, and Mike Johnson, to be fair, can keep spending money. We can't do that. That's not reality. And so it's not going to work long term. And so what do? Well, they lied and lied and lied and lied. They told another lie. The second lie after the transitory lie was, it's going to be fine later this year. Inflation will just, it'll just dissipate, go away or something. And we'll lower rates. Well, they've been saying that to shut up these real estate professionals. They've been saying that to shut up the people who are going to have to go on CNN Business and CNBC and Fox Business and admit real estate industry is dead. We're just not going to have a real estate industry, Lee. We're just not going to have one. That's just, and we'll just go right on printing in Washington, pretend everything's going to get fixed in a few months. The pretending part, Lee, it's coming to an end. We're at the end of the pretend right now. I mean, they'll keep trying.
Yeah.
But reality is a stubborn thing.
Yeah.
It's a stubborn thing. Want to get you to react to this. Speaking of reality being a stubborn thing, because this is a double blow right now, beyond Powell's finally admitting, because Powell's been lying to you for a long time. I mean, he's been blowing smoke up our collective wazoos. Oh, yeah, no, we'll lower rates. How are you going to lower interest rates, dude? Have you seen the inflation, the CPI numbers? Have you seen them for months? You paying attention? You tune in every once in a while? Or you just spending all your time? I don't even know what this man does. I have no idea. The International Monetary Fund, you hear this? This is not good, okay? International Monetary Fund steps up its warning over to U.S. overspending and ballooning debt.
You have to laugh.
You have to laugh, okay? The International Monetary Fund is not a conservative organization. Mm-mm. It's not the Heritage Foundation. It is a big globalist organization, okay? The kind they always tell us we got to listen to. Yeah. The International Monetary Fund leveled an unusually direct criticism at U.S. policymakers Tuesday, saying the country's recent standout performance among advanced economies was driven by unsustainable fiscal policy. What are they saying? That economy Joe Biden's running around Pittsburgh talking about when he's holding little girls' hands, that economy, that one is fake.
And that criticism is pretty much what Republicans are saying about it, too.
Yes, that economy is fake. It is bolstered. It looks like it's on fire. The stock market looks relatively good because you're printing money. But if you keep doing that, it will crash. It will crash. You cannot keep doing it. The exceptional recent performance of the United States is certainly impressive and a driver of global growth, but it reflects strong demand factors as well, including a fiscal stance that is out of line with long-term fiscal sustainability. Let me translate. You can't keep printing money to make the balance sheet look good because your currency is going to crash. And that's going to make the Great Depression look like a party. Washington's overspending, the report said, risks reigniting inflation.
Reigniting? It never went out.
No, it didn't. This is a big globalist
group.
Good
grief.
Right?
Reigniting.
Like, these people all sit around the same table eating the Wagyu beef you and I will never get to try.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, because we can't afford it. So, I mean, they had to be nice to each other. But listen to what it says. Washington's overspending risks reigniting inflation and undermining long-term fiscal and financial stability. Not just here in America, the IMF warns. In the world, if the U.S. doesn't stop printing money like drunken lunatics, you will undermine the fiscal stability of the world. Lee, I had a I had an idiot texter. There's a lot of them wandering into the show because the show is streamed live on Twitter now, and Twitter's so huge. And they try to, they've never heard economic reality before. It's not their fault. They listen to mainstream media. And so they walk in here and they're very confused and very upset. And I had one the other day trying to tell me, well, there's inflation all over the world. It's not Joe's fault. No, what the IMF is saying to you right there, Joe is causing, this printing is causing, and yes, I'm going to throw Mike Johnson in there too. He's just as guilty because you can't deny it. This printing is causing inflation in the world, right here, the IMF. What I said the other day. Well, it's inflation's everywhere. It's not Joe's fault. Yes, it is Joe's fault. And they're saying if he doesn't stop, we're going to see a crash, not just in America, in the world.
There's not a direct correlation between world inflation and U.S. inflation. There's probably more of a correlation between the rest of the world and U.S. inflation because of the impact that this country has on the economy of the world and because of it, the consumer-based economy. But just because you have inflation in the world does not mean it occurs here. We saw that during the Trump administration. We had very minimal inflation going on. It was less than the 2% goal that the Fed has always set for itself. And yet we had higher inflation in other places like in Europe.
However, the reverse, when we are churning money out, we do drive inflation in the world.
True.
And the reason is because the world economy is interconnected, as they tell us all the time. So the water sloshes out of the bathtub. Yeah. We overfill the bathtub with too many dollars. And what happens? They go flying out the side of the bathtub and we cause inflation in the world. We cause the degradation of Western currencies because they're exchanged constantly. It never ends. And, you know, you're buying stuff. It comes from all over the world.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do. And that's what the IMF is finally saying here. If you don't stop this spending, you risk reigniting inflation and undermining long-term fiscal and financial stability around the world, they're saying. And I think this is why IMF, I mean, these guys are going to be Biden supporters, but the reason they're seeing it is because they're saying, stop doing this to the world. The crash is not going to stop at your borders. The destruction, the inflation, it's not going to stop at your borders.
Well, because they also, their livelihood depends on a growing economy. And if you have a contracting economy, they're going to lose money. I mean, that's what it boils down to, because we've seen, you know, still to the delight of many, financial folks, we are still seeing increases on Wall Street. I mean, yes, we've had a couple of down days here recently, but the Wall Street's looking at record highs. And thankfully for folks like myself to have money invested, you know, for retirement funds, we're happy to see that. But even though we realize that much of this is being driven by this reckless spending that's going on by the Biden administration and Republicans as well.
They're saying long term, this is fiscally unsustainable. Yeah. You can't keep doing this. And, you know, when you have global organizations like the IMF blowing the whistle and going, hey, guys, you know, we've really enjoyed the fake economy and the fake stock market and all. We're invested like Lee Rogers is. But hey, we can't keep doing this. You're going to run into a wall. That is a problem. And they're willing to say it. And yet we do not have the leadership of either party willing to even admit this reality exists. Not Chuck Schumer and not Mike Johnson, who will just rubber stamp whatever the Democrats want and quote a few Bible verses at us. That's what he does. You know, the Bible verses are a nice garnish. I enjoy those. But, you know, we're still going to crash. And you're no different than Kevin McCarthy if you do that. And really, you're no different than a Democrat speaker if you do that. We cannot continue rubber stamping Democrat budgets and act like you're doing something. And Mike Johnson is. He does. He needs to go, but I don't know of a good way to get rid of him right now, just given presidential election year. It's a mess. But to see this warning from the IMF is chilling. It's hard, cold reality they had hoped to avoid before the election. Bunch more on this. And the Trump trial coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So, used to be the world could depend on the Federal Reserve to tell the world's investors the truth. You could feel confident about investing in America. Whether the news was good or bad, it didn't matter. Now we're more like China. This is why the world's investors loved America. Kevin O'Leary explained this really, really well. You could trust America. You could trust our court system to be fair. You could trust that land or investments wouldn't be seized or trifled with over political concerns. You can't do that anymore in New York, but mostly you could trust our financial institutions to tell you the truth so you could invest. And look, there's always good investments. If this is bad, then this over here becomes good. It shifts around. But when the people, when the institutions are no longer trustworthy, when they lie, it really damages America and our ability to thrive and be a home for investment. It really does. So this is what is happening. First, they lied to the world's investors. Nah, inflation is transitory, no big deal, when they knew damn well it wasn't. They did it so that we could hit the printing press again. Then Jerome Powell lied again. Oh, no, it's coming down. Inflation is coming down next year. It's going to come down in 24. Don't worry. We'll lower rates. Mm-hmm. How do you feel if you invested in a real estate fund last year because he said they were going to lower rates? That looked like a good investment, huh? He lied. But I mean, I told you that. I don't even have an economics degree. I did take Econ 101 and get an A in college. I did get an A in it. Yeah, I was proud of that. It was a hard class. And I can figure this out. You know why? Ain't hard to figure out. Our chairman knows. Our Federal Reserve chairman knows. He just lies. He lies until the last moment. And that is a problem because now the world's investors, instead of just putting money into America, well, you know, if this is going bad, I'll move it over here, goes, wow, I have to try to figure out what lies the heads of our institutions, our Federal Reserve, are telling to prop up the Democrats. I can't take them at face value as I could 10 years ago. I have to assume they're trying to get Trump. I have to assume, because this is the same Jerome Powell, y'all, that when Trump's economy, when Trump's economy was running 1.9% inflation, getting around two, he went, ooh, it's too hot. I got to raise rates. Why? Because he wanted to hurt Trump's economy to help Biden and Democrats. So you can't invest in America anymore and believe our institutions. That is going to hurt us long term. Because this is the guy who told us we had inflation under control. This is the guy who told us he had it under control enough. We had it under control enough that we'll lower rates. Totally invest in that REIT fund. Totally do that. And he was lying the whole time. And the chickens just came home to roost. So now he's going to tell the truth. Here's Jerome Powell.
We'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. Data show solid growth and continued strength in the labor market, but also a lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal.
Say it again.
A lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal.
Yeah, we've never been progressing, but he knows that because we've been printing money. You know what's so astonishing about this? I mean, you got the IMF this morning. They are the International Monetary Fund, big globalist organization in Bloomberg going, y'all, okay, this, it was cute and all that was fun. You got to stop spending. America has to stop spending. And they even say, listen, your economy looks good there in America, but it's all based on printing. It's all based on inflation. Nothing's actually growing. We know it looks good, but you got to stop now. We can't do this anymore. The exceptional recent performance of the United States is certainly impressive, but it reflects, a fiscal stance that is out of line with long-term fiscal sustainability. They're saying, listen to this, IMF, something will have to give. Why? It's not sustainable. Why? You cannot print your way to a fake economy to get a Democrat elected and think you're not going to crash your currency. That's why. And that's what they're saying. U.S. deficit spending has been driven in recent years by COVID-related stimulus, they say, and that was fine, but it's got to stop now. Debt held Debt held by the public is expected to reach $45 trillion or 114% of GDP by 2033. That is up 97% by the end of 2023. In other words, you cannot double your debt Zimbabwe style, Rome style, Argentina style, Venezuela style. You cannot double your debt every decade. You know what is so astonishing about this? The IMF is not a Republican's friend, okay? They're a big liberal globalist organization. They are. And when they're saying this, and yet, who is not saying this? The heads of the Democrat Party in Congress, and now the head of the Republican Party in Congress. No reality permeates, none whatsoever. We just print whatever we want. We're like a kid at an eat-all-you-can buffet in the dessert line. Oh, I'll have one of those, and I'll take one of those, and I'll take that, 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 and that, and that. And you got to pay for that. No, I don't. No, you do. You do have to pay. And that's what the IMF is saying. That's what the IMF is saying. And we have no one in Congress. We got about 20 people in Congress, including our own Ralph Norman. Thank you, Ralph Norman. I should thank him every day. Who's out there going, yeah, we're going broke. We can't print this anymore. And nobody listens to them. They are treated like boneheaded pariahs. So today, this morning, it's just scary. When the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, sounds just like the Freedom Caucus, okay? The Republican Freedom Caucus. Al is right. Very well timed there, producer Tim. That was excellent work. Thank you. Ow. Donald Trump on trial. They're taking the day off today. Seven jurors picked so far. And Trump's odds aren't good. The jury pool votes Democrat at an 85% rate. Still, though, despite that, the ladies on The View absolutely terrified that an honest person will make it onto the jury. They're afraid that someone might not be fully truthful about liking Trump so they can be cut from the jury. Why? Because they want a very fake result. That's why. They don't want real justice. They don't want to get to the bottom of this. They want fakery. Mike Davis on Fox News this morning, talking about the odds of Trump getting a fair trial, he says they're basically zero. And I don't disagree with this. When you look at the way the deck is stacked, I just don't know most Americans will understand how corrupt this trial is, from the judge who is openly breaking the law and gagging Trump to keep him from talking about it, to, well, I'll let Mike Davis explain.
So let's see, we have this Manhattan DA who campaigned on getting Trump. We have Biden's former number three in the Biden Justice Department, Matthew Colangelo. We have this Democrat judge who donated to Biden and another anti-Trump cause, and his daughter's raising money off of this trial. And then you have a Manhattan jury pool that's 85% against Trump. So I don't think Trump's going to get a fair trial.
No, he's not. It's incredible, once you understand what's going on here, what they're doing. The judge is breaking the law because his daughter is fundraising off the trial. She's made more than $15 million doing it, with letters and emails directly referencing the trial or Trump's criminal trials that are upcoming. She made $93 million for the Democrats fundraising for them off of it, and her company pocketed 15. She's the president. We don't know how many millions she gets, but I'm sure she'll share some with daddy, because daddy has got to get the conviction here. That's also illegal under New York law.
In this case, I believe it goes beyond the appearance. I believe under 22 New York Code of Rules and Regulations, 100.2, that he must disqualify himself. That provides that if the judge has a relative to the fourth degree who has a substantial interest that could be affected by the proceeding, then he must recuse himself. And that's this case. The New York Post article is clear. This person, his daughter, held herself out as the digital persuasion director for Kamala Harris, now president of the company. He must disqualify himself.
Yeah, because that's only 2 degrees of separation right there. It's illegal what he's doing. So what does the judge do? He gags Trump specifically from talking about his daughter, because that way Trump can't talk about how the judge in this case is literally breaking the law. Nothing I've ever seen. It's like Gotham. It's not American. It's not recognizably American. These are Soviet show trial tactics. But they got to shut Trump up. They got to shut him up. They got problems with this. So Alvin Bragg threatening to put Trump, and he may end up in jail by the end of this, because Trump defied Bragg and the judge, went right outside that courtroom yesterday and fired his mouth off in violation of their gags. And they've got to gag him. They've got, because otherwise you could keep talking about what criminals they are and how they're breaking the law. Well, specifically the judge is here anyway, not Alvin Bragg. And they can't have that. I mean, they got much money to be made. You know, I mean, you can't have that. So this is where we stand right now.
And Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg filed a motion to hold former President Trump in contempt, claiming he violated his gag order by posting to social media about Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels, both of which are witnesses in this criminal trial. Bragg saying, quote, the defendant is not above the law and he cannot simply disregard judicial orders that upset him. But Trump says Bragg should be focusing on violent criminals instead. Listen.
Yeah, so Trump goes right outside, and despite the threats of putting him in jail, well.
Alvin Bragg does nothing. He goes after guys like Trump, who did nothing wrong. Violent criminals, murderers, they know there are hundreds of murderers all over the city. They know who they
illegal
are.
Immigrants.
They don't pick them up. They go after Trump.
Bragg is also urging the judge to warn Trump that future violations could be punishable with up to 30 days in jail.
Okay. This is the absurdity of this situation right now. You're really getting, truly getting for the first time to see what an American show trial done in the Soviet style would look like. Because they're all Marxists. Here's what's incredible about this, okay? The key witness is Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was Trump's attorney. Michael Cohen has also been found guilty of criminal perjury, lying under oath. He is the star witness here. Process that for a moment. Okay, so Trump is not allowed to talk about how the judge and his daughter are breaking the law. No can do. Trump is not allowed to go out there and trash these people. Why? Because it might pollute the jury pool. So Trump cannot go, he's not allowed to go out there and tell the truth about what's going on in this case. Not allowed to go out there and defend himself in the court of public opinion, because that would also hurt Biden's ability to beat him. And so that's a factor here too, right? But Michael Cohen, the key witness here, the guy criminally guilty of perjury, is guess what? Totally allowed to go on TV, folks. He's been giving interviews about what a criminal Trump is. Wait, wouldn't that like poison the jury pool? Wouldn't that predispose the jury pool? Might that compromise the jury pool in some way? Yeah, that's the idea. So this is why Trump keeps speaking up, because the outrageousness of it. You gag Trump, right? And then you send your star witness, who's a confirmed liar, out to make the case to the jury that Trump's a criminal. And that guy doesn't get gagged. Michael Cohen doesn't get gagged. And the media puts him on every chance they can get so that he can poison the jury pool. With Trump's a criminal. Trump's a criminal. He's a criminal. And by the way, Cohen will say anything it takes to stay out of prison. He's like a yappy little trained dog for the Democrats at this point, because they basically have him understanding. Look, we're either going to put you in prison for the rest of your life, dude, or you're just going to say whatever we say about Trump. So they send him out there to poison the jury pool, but gag Trump from responding to what Cohen is saying. It is so Soviet. Vladimir Putin couldn't have done better. I mean, this is literally, these are the tactics Putin uses in Russia. It's that sort of soft-handed dictatorship. It's not like we show up in the middle of the night like Maduro does in Venezuela. No, 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 no. They just poison everything around you in terms of the courts. It's a totally controlled system. They get the outcome they want. They don't have to roll up to your house in the middle of the night, drag you out by your hair. But the effect is the same. And that is what is going on here. They are literally sending out the key witness, Cohen, to trash Trump and gagging Trump from responding and promising prison time for him if he responds, especially in telling you how the judge and his daughter, let me put it this way, the judge's family is breaking the law and profiting here. If the American people could just know this, it would be incredible. Want to apologize again about the streaming situation that we are, not streaming situation, but the podcast situation that we are having. We are still trying to work our way through it. We have no control over it here at the local level. It's all corporate. It's all in another city. We're doing the best we can. And I know my podcast is not updating. I know my show podcast, a lot of you like to follow behind me In the show instead of listening to it live. My show podcast is not updating. I know that. I am so sorry. We are doing it. Our managers here are great. They're doing everything they can to get it taken care of. We just got to get corporate going and get them fixing the problem. And I know it's been down for a week and I am so sorry, but I want to let you know there's a lot of other ways you can listen to the Tara Show. You can go to my Rumble channel, Tara Servatius. We stream live now on Twitter. That is absolutely on fire. Love having the show live on Twitter. Again, Tara Servatius, it's my name. You can stream it on Instagram if that's your poison. And I don't normally push this, but you can stream it on YouTube as well. I almost never mentioned that because I'm on my second YouTube channel. Got censored on the first, got it taken away. So I'm afraid to train you to go there because I'm afraid it won't be there one day. But yes, YouTube is always there as a backup. So you can listen to this show. In fact, you can go, if you like to go behind me, as some of you do, you start at the beginning, an hour after the show starts. I get it. I do that with stuff I stream. So I'm streaming it, but it's not live. I get it. I am so sorry. I don't know what else to do, but just to continue to apologize and know that we are just doing everything we can to fix it. And there's a lot of other options. By the way, you can do that on Twitter as well, on my Twitter account. You can go right back to the beginning of the show and start right there, like you normally would on our website. And I would just direct you to social media and tell you just go there. Facebook's weird. They will not let me stream on my channel. The FBI won't let me stream on my channel anymore. I'm pretty sure it's them. I've already told you that story. So I'd kind of avoid Facebook, but you could just go again, Tara Servatius Twitter, Tara Servatius Instagram, Tara Servatius YouTube, and you can watch the show there. In fact, you can come back two hours later and start at the beginning if you would like. And all I can do is just please don't give up on us and know there's so many other options out there beyond our website in our app for streaming this, and just say a prayer like we are that our engineering staff can get it together. And again, that's not the local one. It's the national. So, incredibly frustrating. And again, all I can do is apologize. All right. So, meantime, Trump trial. We'll get back into it in a minute.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.